Welcome to Spiritually Raw. We expose and explore controversial truths, myths, and theories surrounding the spirit world. Guests include QAnon experts, investigators, debunkers, and skeptics of the supernatural, unexplained, and flat-out unimaginable. Content discussed on this show is not necessarily the opinion of the cast of Spiritually Raw, and topics quite often are for mature audiences only. This show is not intended to replace any medical, financial, or legal advice, and is for entertainment purposes only. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. Hello, everybody. How are you? And welcome to Spiritually Raw. Thank you so much for your energy exchange with us today. We hope you woke to the most miracle morning and are also having the most fortunate day. Today, we have a great guest, as you can see here, Mr. Kenneth Hopkins, author of Ascension and the Celestial Experience. We're going to learn about him, meet Kenneth in just a moment. April's going to tell you a little bit about Kenneth, but I do want to remind you, if you haven't already, kindly take a moment to hit the subscribe button, turn on the notification bell. And remember, if you are looking for that mind, body, spirit reset, don't forget to visit our friends up there at HempWorks. The link is clearly
displayed
there.
Not just a reset, though, Jay. If you're looking for that mind, body, spirit, love, connection,
because it does vibrate
to a higher source, definitely check out the HempWorks.
Yeah, for sure on that. So what about Kenneth?
Oh, okay, cool. So let me tell you a little bit about Kenneth. This is a really, really interesting story. So I'm excited to dive right in. Okay, so Jay mentioned Kenneth Hopkins. He's just almost finished this current book, which is called Ascensions and the Celestial Experience. His first book is Earth Transformation, and his second book actually got destroyed while he was making it due to a series of computer attacks. It was called In the Darkness, and it dealt with the gray hybrid connection of six young women. The book was published, his current book, the first one, Earth Transformations, was published. Kenneth said it was about an experience awakening that also touched the MK Ultra projects. And we're going to get right into it. He's had a lot of interesting contactee experiences. A lot of strange things have happened throughout his life. And he still still to this day, Kenneth Hopkins is on the federal watch list since the age of 22. So we're going to find out exactly why he is.
All right, Kenneth, welcome to the show. How are you?
Pretty good.
Good. Okay, good. Well, you got a lot going on there, man. So you've got an awakened experience, touched on MK Ultra projects. So tell me a little bit about what has been the catalyst that started all this. So you've had from four on, it sounds like you've had some pretty horrible life-threatening physical abuses going on in your life. So tell me a little bit about that. Let's get to learn a little bit about Kenneth there.
Okay. I didn't know I was an abductee till 2003.
Okay.
I didn't have a clue as to the connections that the dreams were Pleiadian contacts. So most of my life was seen to move along. In the mid 70s, I got these blackouts on my dates. I call them missing time blackouts. I've always referred to them as blackouts. And so I just never bothered to put what was going on at 23, 22. I didn't know how to understand what was going in those blackouts. So I told myself, they're not worth venturing, leave them alone. The women didn't seem to notice the missing time periods.
This was when you were writing the book In the Darkness?
No, this is in 1976 when I was undergoing the Gray's abductions.
What women are you talking about that didn't know they were?
The women that I was dating in 1976 would become abducted by the Greys for their hybrid program. Mm. They would take them, they insert embryos in their vaginas or uteruses, and then they'd return them, and then they'd pick them up again to remove the babies. I have testimonials on both these in the past, in the mid-70s, and also in 2015, in interviews, I came across a woman who was actively involved in the Grace Hybrid program.
Okay, so stop right there. How many women were you dating at this time that were having this experience, having their embryos removed and implanted?
No, embryos implanted.
The embryos implanted. Okay,
this is the Eisenhower-approved treaty with the Greys in 1953 or 54. I think it was 54.
What do you think, Kenneth, was So these are women that were dating you. So yeah. Somehow you were singled out. So do you know, have you figured out by now why you were singled out and why these women were?
Okay, Gray's abduction my abductions have been since childhood, infancy. But I didn't, like many abductees, I had no perspective of what was going on. The blackouts in the mid-70s became a call, and during the blackouts in the mid-70s, I was working with Department of Defense, top secret classification. An incident happened with Department of Defense, and this is what's explained in the first book, in which they witnessed an abduction while following me. There was an interaction that played a role in being put on a federal watch. And that also increased the surveillance, what happened with the Grays. Okay. And there was multiple incidences, Department of Defense, Grays, helicopter responses, and then eventually homicides.
I'm already confused.
Let's reel it in a little
okay.
bit.
Yeah. Okay.
So first of all, we've gone from the, and I just want to recap so we can just kind of organize our thoughts here. Mm-hmm. It's all good. And
yeah.
So we got you that have had some physical abuses from a very early on, age 4.
Yeah.
And we went to 6 young women who were abducted, had the embryos implanted in them that were related specifically to you. Okay. So let's kind of move from that part if we can, and then we can move to the, you know, where they were tracking you and the Department of Defense. So from that part right there, these women, how did you ever get a sense of, or are you aware of why specifically these 6 women that were somehow attached to you through a personal relationship, why were they picked? Why are you singled out? Do you know that as of now?
Well,
as it relates to these women.
Okay. The Grays talk, I have to get back a little to clarify.
Yeah.
The Grays talk of pre-birth agreements. Mm-hmm. Agreements made, the American Indians, a lot of the spiritualists believe that we played a role in setting the design to our lives. Mm-hmm. So accordingly, the Grays claim that there were pre-birth agreements with these women. In my time travel experiences, I saw that time ran exactly. No changes. Time ran, runs precisely as designed. And so that's a spiritual aspect to the Gray's abductions of these women. So it was destiny that they be abducted with me.
Okay.
How are you the catalyst to all this is really is what I'm trying to find out. So these women had a pre-birth agreement with the Grays that they understood.
I'm the catalyst.
How are you the catalyst?
Because I've been involved with the Grays since birth. I have no knowledge of my involvement with the Grays at those times. I didn't understand what was occurring. So the Grays utilized us to get the women for the embryo implantations. And that's the best way I can put it. And other abductees, most of my interviews have been with women. I've gotten very few men in response. But
Kenneth, what do you mean by most of your interviews have been with women? Can you help clarify that?
Okay, I've been interviewing women in these hybrid projects, and I've not interviewed many men. And I've done some 100 interviews, and I've been doing them worldwide, different countries, as long as they can speak English. And so I haven't got too many men. The hybrid project continues.
Oh, hold, stop right there, though. But why were you singled out at a very early age that you know of now? Why did the Grays, what was the connection with you and the Grays, why did they
want you?
But why?
Okay. All those that the Grays are involved with since birth, they utilize in their different ways.
Mm-hmm.
And I was utilized to bring these women to where they had access to them.
Why did they need you? Why couldn't they just go directly to them?
They used others. I don't understand why they were taking the women that were with me. I don't, all I can say is if you really want that answer, you have to get it from the Grays.
Okay, that's cool.
No, fair enough. So thank you. I think we're getting a little clearer picture on this. So we got the women, they got there. So we understand now that they have been abducted. And when you say you interview women, before we move to the next topic with you, when you say you interview women, are these women reaching out to you because they're aware that you're connected to the Grays and are you counseling them in some format, or how does that, what does that look like?
I'm doing a combination in these interviews. And I take no money in what I do. It's to get information out. So I use Facebook for a lot of my contacts. And then now that Facebook is setting up a lot of sites specific to specific things, I'm putting a lot of communications of my experiences into Facebook and the other organizations I've connected with. So then they start contacting me. And then I do the interviews. For some, in their words and how they speak on Facebook, I can see that they're confused. There's an awakening process with the abduction phenomena.
True.
And often it takes a while before that recognition comes. With that recognition, a lot of psychic abilities will develop, telepathy will develop, and which works for communication between whatever that person's group of celestials they're connected with. The Grays seem to intermediate between a lot of groups of celestials. And then they have their agenda.
Do you think by any chance, Kenneth, that you are some sort of hybrid ambassador of sorts between the Grays and the human race? Have you given that any thought?
No, more the Pleiadians. I have more interpersonal connection with the Pleiadians. I was in their breeding program.
How does that work?
The Pleiadians, again, are connected. I didn't understand my connection with the Pleiadians. It made no sense because all my past lives, I had nothing to do with ETs. So they said I was born into the genetics. So then they utilize, and they're utilizing people on Earth as well to have sexual intercourse for the creation of children. In speaking with a couple women involved in this project, the embryos were removed from them. But in a number of the women I was with in the projects, they introduced me to their children. So the Pleiadian contact came more or less by surprise for me. And only recently have I developed or had telepathic communication with the subgroup that I'm with.
What's the subgroup that you're with right now?
When I say subgroup, the Pleiadians are involved with a lot of humans on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
They talk about the tens of thousands of years ago on Earth that they brought their genetics onto Earth.
Mm-hmm.
So they consider those that come out of those genetics from their implantation tens of thousands of years ago, I don't know how they track or what they do, they consider them Pleiadians. So when I was writing the section of the book about the Pleiadian hybrid program, they intervened and said, it's not a hybrid program. We are breeding amongst our own. That was how they described their breeding program.
And how did you communicate with them? How did they deliver this message to you?
In a lot, they take me at night. And I've shown the process. It's called plasma teleformation. And we photographed this process. We photographed my form changing to this energy. Plasma. And then as plasma, I travel. And they do this at night. A lot of people think lucid dreaming. A lot of people are undergoing this form of teleportation without knowledge that it's happening to them. They can take us from the sheets while we're sound asleep. And then what often happens with a lot of the people I've interviewed is we have what we call alternates. they're another personality that may be a higher frequency that is communicating with the celestials.
Can I stop you right there so I can just kind of grasp what we just got? So the first thing is that Kenneth, is lucid dreaming, are you suggesting that lucid dreaming is an alien abduction?
In some cases, yes. Not in all cases. Yes.
Not in all cases.
Okay. When you're getting burned and you wake up with a burn mark on your hand, that's not a lucid dream.
If you're getting burned in your dreams, you're not going to the Palladians.
That's plasma. No, I'm just giving an example.
Okay.
That's plasma teleportation. I've abducted by three different groups.
Okay.
The Greys, the Palladians, and the U.S. military group. The U.S. military group, I'm somewhat closed with what I can talk about.
Yeah.
So they each have their own process. And when we are filming the teleportation process, we notice three different electrical patterns to the disruption of the film.
Can I ask you real quick? When you were recording this, was this done in your home or was it done in like a...
Privately done in my home, and I did others in other people's homes.
Okay.
And the pictures that I believe I've sent you show two methods of abductions.
I didn't know what they were.
Yeah, they're very difficult to explain because you get in tremendous electromagnetic frequency interruption. And that makes it literally impossible to film. We use old tech camera and a 1980s TV set to set up the camera of the pictures I got. And right now I'm looking to start back up. I've tried numerous security systems. They black out. The cameras don't do anything. They just black out. Shows up as a white line across the screen. I thought by getting, and then cameras were blown. So the old Radio Shack Swan camera is what I've been using. Now, many people cannot understand the images because they have the EMF disruption. We also have some with a microwave going across them. So whether the microwave is part of the monitoring or the microwave, it looks like the microwave is some form of monitoring to the EMF disruption. I've been under heavy government surveillance. I continue to be.
You mentioned that earlier. What are you under government surveillance for?
I don't fully understand what happened with the Department of Defense.
You don't know why you're under surveillance?
Well, when they witnessed the abduction in 76 of a young girl and myself, and I was not aware. This is what became the federal government and the military's interest. I don't understand a lot about what's going on with the military. And so I kind of be silent about that.
So can I ask you this? Okay, so how did this abduction in 1976 happen? Was it you were walking down the street with your girlfriend? Were you in a car? Why did they witness it?
I was through Northeastern University. I was interviewed to work with a top secret project in Wenham, Massachusetts, a government contracting facility that was training Easterners to go back to Middle East and become spies for the U.S., basically. Mm-hmm. So I was in that program. The facility in Wenham, Mass. Was an incredible facility. I loved it. So I brought my girlfriends to it to see it. And for some reason, that sparked their interest. And I didn't know anything about what top secret was. Mm-hmm. They lied about how they did the top secret clearance. They told me to come in for a check. And then they had me sign papers and they had my brother co-sign papers.
Kenneth, just clarity, who told you to come in for the check?
Department of Defense.
Department
contractor.
Of Defense. Department
their,
of Defense.
Their intelligence department.
Got it. Okay. Okay.
So they followed... they detained us first, and then they followed us, and I didn't know they were following us. I didn't know what happened on this until 2003, or maybe 2005, 2006. because we had a lot of problem getting memories with the hypnosis. It took us 5 years to make any to get anything.
Because they wiped your memory?
Yeah, there's a lot of wiping memory.
There's a lot of
And it's specific with specific reasons. And that's the Pleiadians. The Pleiadians use alternates, which are like other selves of us, that leave us with no memory of our experiences with them. So hypnosis became a way of getting clarity on those experiences.
The Pleiadians are the ones that are wiping the memories. Is that what I understood you just said?
A lot of the Greys may do, a number of them do it.
Okay.
So during a particular incident that you're in teleportation with somebody, they'll be talking to you and then boom, you can't understand what they're saying. And then boom, you can understand what they're saying. In a couple of my abductions, a woman was telling me about things that she and I had done, and they blanked out what she was telling me on the things that we had done. So I kept asking her, you know, because I couldn't understand what she was saying. What are you saying? Could you repeat that? So under hypnosis, we tried to bring a recall to that incident, and we couldn't get the memory of what her words were.
Were you the one doing the hypnosis, or were you part of the hypnosis project?
I hired a woman in New Hampshire to do a lot of the research in hypnosis that we did. And then we went about, I've been working with hypnosis extensively at that time for 5 years. So we were doing a lot of things with hypnosis, from past life experiences, because we found in the abductions, we found a lot of correlations to past life references with those we interviewed.
So far, how we understand it in a nutshell, there is these six women that have made an agreement pre-birth to be able to be abducted.
That's what the Greys say. A couple of the women I interviewed remember those pre-agreements.
Got it. Okay. And then now you're interviewing these women now, and you're getting them through social media, and then there's a call out. So if they're having any of these alternate experiences that they can't explain, you're interviewing them. They go to you, right?
Yeah.
I understand that. Maybe one of the Greys or Pleiadians calling you there, right? So, but
you can get it.
Yeah. I'm blocking them. I get hang up calls all the time.
These women are coming to you. Okay, now you mentioned too that there's an alternate experience or an alternate you. So is it like a higher version of you?
Well, some people have referred to it as a higher frequency self.
Mm-hmm. Higher frequency
self. That it bridges the gap. And I get into the explanation on frequencies, but it bridges the gap between us and the lower frequencies. They develop or self develops in the higher frequencies. How it develops is unclear, but one thing is very common with the abductees my age is they go through horrible child abuse, sexual abuse, horrendous abuse, which of course works to dissociate.
Mm-hmm.
And with the MK Ultra projects, they had us do horrendous things.
So can I ask you right there? Okay, so who put you in the MK Ultra projects? Was it your family?
No, I'm interviewing some MK Ultra projects now. People that were lifelong agents, because I really want to find the process.
Mm-hmm.
There's two different groups with the MK Ultra. There was a group that was born into a cult.
Yep.
And they have their rituals, the Illuminati. They're trained, and they know they're trained, super soldiers, whatever you want to call them. And then they're utilized. And then they have the ones that are unknowing.
Mm.
So I was having difficulty in school. So I was taken to Boston Children's Hospital, and that's where they did the procedures on me. And Yale and Harvard were participating with their psychiatrists in that program. And
so you had a traumatic incident and then you went to the hospital, and from there they knew that you were vulnerable, for would it be fair to say? And
it was set up for many people. There were many of us that they recruited this way.
I've heard of that, actually.
So in the Dr. Vincent Perlo, who's dead now, was involved for Yale, I believe, in the project at Boston Children's Hospital. So in my first appointment, they had a needle put in my arm. They brought a child in and they had me do things to the child. Again, no memory. So when I went home, I had no memory.
Why did you go to the hospital for starters? And why did your family?
Learning disabilities is the common one they grab for.
Okay, got it.
The learning disabled. Uh-huh. And they had, in some of the interviews, they went to school systems and got the children from the school systems. All of this, of course, going underground. Mm-hmm. The Senate Church hearings with Ted Kennedy and Senator Church was in the 70s to stop the allowing of this human experimentation. They had the budgetary information. The CIA destroyed all the documents. Jesse, I forget the name of the head of the CIA, but as the church investigation was going, all the documents were destroyed in relationship to the MK Ultra. And then they were brought back. The Republican controlled Senate and House brought the bills to make it allowable for this experimentation to continue.
That's so twisted. Can I ask you, how long were you in the Hopkins MK Ultra project that you remember? How many times did you go back?
Many times without memory. They picked us up at our homes and brought us to Boston Children's Hospital, or they took us on rides where we watched them kill people.
And your parents, were they privy to anything?
My parents had no idea, because I had no idea.
Because it was under the cover of they were doing something to help children with learning disabilities, correct?
Yeah, and so those are the children they went after. The main reason they were interested in grabbing these children was because of the susceptibility with hypnosis. Mm-hmm. 1 in 5 children are highly, so when they went to the school system, from a testimonial from one person, they excused the teacher from the class. They made a mild attempt of hypnotizing the class. The children that went under became their targets. Mm-hmm. And then they'd take those children.
I want to get to the back to the federal watch list that you're on here, Kenneth. So to this point, you don't really have a clear answer of why they're watching it.
I have no clear answers of a lot of what happened in 76.
When you approach them to ask them, what has been their response to you? So when you say, why are you watching me? Or how do you know that they're watching you?
I got an attorney. We were denied access to the documents. They were top secret or above top secret classifications. We couldn't get any access to them. They denied, they said that there were records, but they denied that we couldn't get anywhere with an attorney. So then, because of communication disruptions, I brought action against Verizon, because I'd lose phone service. I couldn't make calls to certain people. And people couldn't call me. This continues. Mm-hmm. But the work I'm doing on the new book, they're not having any difficulty with. So I'm getting.
Yeah, thank you. Have you ever been able to track down or connect with any of the other children currently that were also caught up in the Boston's Children's Hospital MK Ultra program? And I just wanted to tag on to one thing. At that time, I can't imagine that any parent would even be, that thought would never even be entering their mind. They're thinking they're sending their children to the children's best hospital in the country for help, and everything is just being completely twisted.
Yeah, they've intervened. And the Republican gave a, Republican senators and representatives gave a lot of support for the continuation of this program when Ted Kennedy and Senator Church are trying to eliminate it.
Mm-hmm. Do you, as far as the getting back to what April just asked you, are you in contact or do you have any recollection of the other children that were part of that Boston program that you were in?
I interviewed other children, but not connected with Boston Children's Hospital.
Not connected with Boston Children's Hospital. Okay. The other thing you made notes of too is that you continue to be approached by the police department.
That slowed down some. The police departments really don't have time to waste their time on the list, the federal list. It's in every police department across the country.
What were they approaching you on specifically?
When they pulled me over, they would run me through and I'd come up on the federal watch list. Then they'd ask me, do you know you're on a federal watch list? So that was kind of what was happening with the police department.
Got it. Okay.
And then, so we hired a lawyer to go after the federal communications for Verizon's non-performance. And that was when we found out about the federal warrant on wiretaps.
I want to get back to the plasma and how you were burnt and how you knew that you were taken up in the ships.
I was never burnt. I was using that as an example. Okay. I do have the lacerations on my back. I do have the marks. I do have the implants. And those marks are quite visible. Those occurred in the night abductions.
What type of marks do you have, Kenneth?
I've been meaning to have somebody take photographs of them. They're on my back, about 18 inches of surgical scars. There's an implant below them. I had the implant removed because I was afraid it would get infected. I didn't know what it was at the time. Another one was put in its place.
When you have the 18-inch mark on there, when you came back to be or alert of you would have, is there any pain that you felt at all?
I felt the pain in the abduction.
You felt the pain in the abduction.
Yeah. Okay.
Go ahead. Yeah.
And I thought it was a dream. Men were holding me down on a table, and they were cutting my back open. And it was incredibly painful. That implant is with military, so I'm somewhat restricted with what I could discuss on that one.
And I want to kind of tighten this up a little bit. So who removed the implant, the first one?
The first one was removed I had a number of them removed by surgeons because they kept getting infected and I'd end up in the emergency room. So I decided when they appeared, I'd get rid of them. The skin specialists don't open the encapsulated thing. They send it to an outside lab. Mm-hmm. So then we're getting these ridiculous explanations of the skin sample saying, oh, it's a heart cell deformity. But I didn't know what was going on with this. But just anything a doctor removes, and many of the American doctors remove, is they have a protocol. It's sent to a certain department.
They won't necessarily acknowledge that it's an implant.
They can't. They won't. In a lot of cases, they may not know because the body encapsulates it. Mm-hmm. So they know they removed a lump, mm-hmm. and then they sent the lump to the lab.
Kenneth, do you think that people that, wake up with lumps or feel lumps out of nowhere and they go and they test it and they think or find out that it's cancer. Do you think that there's a probability or a possibility that these are actually lumps that are being covered as cancer?
No, I don't. They always come back benign. So I don't think there's any cancer alerts on them.
Got it. Yeah, Kenneth, you mentioned a couple of times when we were talking about the Department of Defense, but then you also referred, as far as you don't really know why they were following you, they haven't told you much about that. But then you also made reference a couple of times that there's you can't say much about it, meaning that are you instructed that you're not supposed to talk about certain things?
If I talk about certain things, the radio show is cut. or my line is cut. Mm-hmm. So if I mention certain things to you, we'll be cut. They may block, they have complete control of the communications here. Mm-hmm. In my writing, they deleted a lot of the sections right after and while I was writing them for the second book. I don't know what about the hybrid program, because in the first book, it talks about the hybrid program. It talks about a female agent the Department of Defense sent to monitor me, who became abducted.
No, finish, please.
Okay, so in the first book, it touches on three of the female abductions. And then in the second book, another six.
Are the Palladians, from your perspective, malevolent or benevolent?
I'm going to say good. Higher frequency. And that's what they've been telling us, to develop the higher frequencies to bring about the changes on Earth. And when you look at Trump, he's dealing with he's a master of the lower frequencies, anger, fear, hate, torment. So that's what he used to control and get most of his support. The Palladians want our energies towards the higher frequencies, love, caring, helping, aiding one another, coming together. That means worldwide, spiritually coming together. And that, as they say, is how we'll bring about the changes. We can't go about the changes in the lower frequencies.
Can I tag? I don't know if you caught something.
I did.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I want to ask you. Okay. So
because that's going to cause a lot of.
Yeah,
we got to get clarity on that.
I want to get clarity on that, because a lot of people, and I just, we don't really want to go down this rabbit hole too
but
much.
We have
but we'll just take it on. We'll just touch on it a little bit. But you did mention, as far as Trump is the master of lower frequencies, where a lot of the support system has the reverse opinion of that, that he is the higher frequency. So what makes you believe? And again, this is not, I'm just truly just wanting to know your opinion on this, is what makes you believe and that he is the lower frequency king? If you
there is no higher frequency in him as a being. There's no higher frequency involvement with the KKK and disruption and anger and hate and division. Yet that's what he pushed.
Do you think that's more of a personal flow opinion that you have right now? So similarly, someone could say the same thing about Biden and have their own opinion on that.
Well, I haven't seen Biden bringing hate against groups. I haven't seen Biden bringing division. I'm not making any assumptions on Biden, but I haven't seen anything connected with the KKK from the Illuminati, from the cabal, in the interviews I came into consistently the reptilian involvement with the lower frequencies.
So in a nutshell, you're not a Trump fan.
No, definitely not.
I got you. Okay, that's fine.
Well, how did you feel about Hillary Clinton?
Between the Hillary's whole past was with helping women. Was with helping people. I don't know. There's another twist that comes in there, which that comes up in the fake media or whatever media. I don't know if there's substance to it about, but it seems to come up on a lot of our superiors, having to do with sex involvement with children.
And do you find that to be true or false?
I haven't seen any evidence to say it, and the evidence that's been presented has been false. When you follow it up,
the evidence to say it, but the evidence that you presented is false. Okay.
Yeah. So I have to.
Do you know that she wears a pendant that is the Baphomet, right?
Now, are you talking connection with the Illuminati?
I'm talking about, like, if you look at it, she's wearing the devil's. On around her neck.
Yeah, that connects with the Illuminati, as far as what I've seen in my research.
All right. Well, enough about Trump and Hillary. We get those on a lot of other shows.
We'll
we know your opinion. So So let me ask you this now, moving fast forwarding here with everything that's gone on, you're on a search right now, and I really, really wish you a lot of love and a lot of luck. I really do. But yeah. I want to ask you, how about your family and the ones that are close to you as you go through this search? What's your support system like?
The support has come from other abductees. All my support structure has come from other abductees. And me getting clarification for them helped them. Them getting clarification has helped me. The channeling, I'm finding a lot more information in. Years ago, I wouldn't have been looking at the channeling. So what I'm getting in testimonies from women in their abductions, the channelings that some of them do, or the information they get, many of the abductees come from a spiritual perspective of belief in past lives. And many of them have expressed that the ETs they were with in their past lives. And the ETs are looking after them after the soul. So there's a lot of reincarnation connection in the abduction phenomena in those that I've interviewed.
You have your interview. Do you have it as a podcast? Is it something that's informal?
I do it informally with everybody.
You do it informally with everybody.
Yeah. And confidentiality, unfortunately, I'm in a system, communication system where everything is monitored. I don't like that at all, but I can't let that interfere with what I'm trying to do. And there doesn't be too much interference I'm getting on this book project. So confidentiality is really important. These people in all sorts of positions, and they definitely don't want to lose their jobs, the reaction of people around us.
Yeah,
prior to 2003, what I'm telling you now, I would have thought I was crazy.
Can I ask you a question? What is your belief? Do you believe in a higher source? Do you believe in this God Almighty? Do you believe a upper and a lower?
Okay. I'm trying to remember the book. God is within us. I pretty much, the spiritual aspect is very strong and has become strong. I'm also done a lot of psychic work, but my teachers do not want me doing psychic work for money. So, in a lot of the interviews, I do some reading if I get images and so forth. I'm sorry, I lost track of your
question.
That's
okay. I'm just curious as to what you, but I think you answered it. You said that God is within all of us. God is within.
The teaching of God on the outside of us is a means of controlling a society.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. God is within. You find him within. Your inner self, your higher self, it's all within. We're all collectively connected. We're all part of the source. Mm-hmm. And division destroys our abilities and our powers. We all have the ability to create, either by imagination, whatever means we pick. Our thoughts can set up our future. So I believe God is within, and we're all a part of this force.
Okay. Nice. All right. That's a nice closing statement there for
Thank
me right
you,
there.
Kenneth
Hopkins, everybody. Yeah, you're welcome. Kenneth, listen, you have your email down there, Kenneth K. Hopkins at KGreatOutlook.com. So can you tell us exactly what people you would want them to reach out and contact you via email for? Like, what reason would you like them to do that?
If somebody, in many cases, there's what I was discussing as the awakening process. Mm-hmm. And so I'm working with getting people to connect with their groups telepathically. Help them understand, just like the spiritual realms, the celestials do not want to scare us. They want, and so they're involved with a part of us that's incredibly comfortable with them and them with that part. So as people start to become aware and open the door, the celestials will come forth to them.
Okay.
Aww, all right, right on. Thank you.
Kenneth Hopkins, everybody. Very nice to meet you again. And I really wish you a lot of luck on your journey. I really do. I hope to help you get the clarity and answers that you are looking for. Thank you, everybody. And I hope you found peace and clarity out of this. And maybe you, if you're having similar experiences, there's an email right there. Maybe you can reach out to Kenneth and share with him. And then hopefully that can help you along your journey also. So anyway, hope you enjoyed it, because we most certainly did on this end. And we'll see you next time. Thank you.
Thank
All right,
you
take
much.
Care.
Thank you. And together we will turn the universal key to global harmony and create
higher,
a unified world. Thank you, everybody.
And higher frequencies.
And higher frequencies.
Love, compassion, connection. Take care.
Maybe I should alter, edit my, my closing. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. And remember, tune in often. Tell all your friends. And most importantly, may all your dreams come true. Many blessings.